Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and happy Thanksgiving to you. A Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report underway, our last show of the week. And Lee Kelly is with me in studio today. Normally it's Thursdays, but Lee has informed me he will be too busy eating turkey all day tomorrow. So he's with me tonight, or today I should say, after being with me last night as well. We had high school basketball on the Big X last night, which was good to see. But I tell you what, while we were at that game, there were some crazy happenings going on in the world of college basketball yesterday, and it's really been a crazy week. Michigan State lost unexpectedly earlier in the week out at the Maui Invitational. Dayton has kind of been the star of Maui. They are headed into the championship game against Kansas and playing some really good basketball. And, of course, last night after Kentucky loses, a week and a half or so ago to Evansville, and some other crazy college basketball scores so far this season, we see Duke lose at home to Stephen F. Austin last night in overtime on an absolute buzzer beater as the player raced down the floor, laid it in just as the time expired on the clock. Crazy finish to that game, and we have really had a crazy start to college basketball. This week and last night were just kind of a reminder of what's happened pretty consistently since the college game got restarted this season.
And I hope this is kind of a vision of something to come where a lot of these schools that may have been very good in the past, or maybe they're upstarts that are just getting started, do some things in the March Madness, because it always makes it more fun for me when the underdogs pull off the upsets, and you know, it just makes the whole tournament better for me. Maybe that's what we're looking at for the future.
I'm not so sure last night with Duke. I mean, obviously they never lose at home. It was their first home non-conference loss in how many years was it?
2000.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm not so sure, though, that with the way the game is nowadays and the way that it's been this season, I don't know if I'm more shocked at Duke losing at home in a non-conference game to Stephen F. Austin, or if I'm more surprised about how it happened. I mean, literally, in overtime, a neck-and-neck game. And as the clock expires, it's almost like a track meet. You see the player racing down the floor. The Duke defender is behind him. You wonder if he's going to get nervous and flub up, basically a pretty much open layup. You even can see the Stephen F. Austin bench. They rise to their feet. It's almost like they're edging that way as well as the player races down the floor, like high drama to finish that game. So, again, the loss is one thing. The way the loss happened just – crazy. And of course, you think back to Evansville beating Kentucky. I know a lot of Indiana fans take pride in Evansville being from the Hoosier State and seeing their Kentucky counterparts go down. But there really and truly have been some wild moments. Even the Big Ten Conference, and I think things have balanced out a little bit, but there for the first couple weeks of the season, when we were taking a look at some of the early games, and I know Indiana's basically had all games against mid-major type opponents, but even some of the games, the home games for other Big Ten teams against mid-major opponents, they've either lost. There's been a couple losses. There's been a couple of really close games when you don't expect it to be that way. You know, I think across the board, Michigan had a big scare at home. Indiana maybe has not had as close a scare, at least in the second half, as what some of the other teams have had. Nebraska lost at home. Wisconsin lost at home. There have just been some interesting scores. So maybe you're right. I guess I'm just glad it's back, but you're thinking ahead to March already, which is the best time of year. This is a really good time, but March is the best time of year, and maybe this is kind of an indication of what's to come. And if it is, We're going to enjoy it and embrace it, and it'll be here before you know it, and we'll be talking about, hopefully, the great season of this year that's in the books. But definitely some interesting things to start the year. And, of course, I know Indiana fans are just hoping that this IU team can finally get healthy, can finally get some minutes together on the floor, because all these opportunities that were scheduled in the month of November against teams that don't make you too excited to see Indiana go against, other than the fact we just love basketball, we want to see the Hoosiers play, and the games have all been at Assembly Hall, those opportunities are running out. One more early next week before the month of December gets here, and we're going to head into December games against Florida State in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. There's two early season Big Ten games. There's other big non-conference games in the month of December. We're going to head into those games with this Indiana team with that plan of getting some real opportunity together, some experience together, adjustments together against lower-level teams. It really hadn't worked out that way. Indiana, they played pretty well. They've won the games for the most part, as they should, by margins that are somewhat reasonable. But getting everybody out there, getting the starting lineup out there, getting all the scholarship players out there, which seems like a dream if that would ever happen, healthy, available to be played if needed, it's been really tough for Indiana. So we sit here heading into Thanksgiving, watching some good college basketball all week long, Indiana with one more tune-up type game before December gets here. And I don't know that this month, other than wins for Indiana, which they're off to their best start since, what, 2013, I believe.
That's right.
Other than wins, though, this team hasn't, I don't think, accomplished what the goal was with this type of schedule that was put forth.
The only – my thinking on it is it accomplished for me what I wanted to see. I wanted to see the players on the floor. I wanted them to be able to play together. The surprise for me, a couple of them, Brunk is one of them. I don't think he's ever going to be a superstar. I don't really at this point think he's NBA material, but I think he's a lot better than when they started their preseason exhibition games to where they're at now. He seems to be more a part of the offense. I'm still not sure about Devontae Green. He'll do some good things. He'll get on a streak and hit two or three threes in a row, and then he'll do some of the dumbest things that you would be embarrassed if a freshman did them, let alone a senior. So Al Durham, I think, is playing fantastic basketball. I love to watch the young man play. Fennessy, I think, does a good job. Some of the kids that didn't play last year, didn't play much last year, have gotten some big minutes. Some will probably continue to get pretty good minutes. Others need to find a good soft spot on the bench to watch the games from, and we see that every year. So I don't know. I'm still have that big question mark when it comes to IU, but I think they've made progress by being able to play the schedule they have and at home.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's get into the show for today. The show lineup brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Lee and I will run through our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A lot to get to. We're going to talk some high school hoops from last night. Anthony Leal had a big performance for Bloomington South. I'm excited to get the chance to see him on Saturday night when Bloomington South and New Albany hook up in Bloomington. But he had a good start to the season last night. We'll talk about that. Also, Dayton running through the Maui Invitational bracket. They take on Kansas later today. A couple words on that and some other headlines today as well, including a little note about Tom Crean that we're going to talk about here in just a moment. So we'll cover all that and more here in the first segment with our Zaxby's headlines. Later in the program, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, he joins us. We'll talk about this wild and wacky world of college basketball so far this season with Dustin. We'll talk IU. We'll get you ready for Indiana's next game. And we're going to look ahead to some of the big December games. We're close enough now that we can go ahead and get excited for some of the big matchups that are ahead. And we're going to begin to preview some of those, at least talk about them with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic a little bit later. And then finally, we'll wrap things up today. Craig Pearson, News and Tribune sports editor, he's in studio with us. A lot of local stuff to get to. He was out and about at some games last night. The high school basketball season continues tonight. Silver Creek is in action. They take on Columbus East tonight on the boys' side of things. And then, of course, there's games Friday and a good number of games. I'm very interested in Saturday, New Albany at Bloomington South. That'll be a test for them. Jeffersonville goes down to Cincinnati for a big matchup against Woodward High School from Cincinnati. That, I understand, a very good team and will be a tough test for the Red Devils this early in the season as well. So lots to get to today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. With the hustle and bustle of the upcoming holidays, don't forget to order your Honey-Baked Ham or turkey to complete your family gatherings. Call the store at 812-941-9426 or stop by at 3602 Northgate Court in New Albany. Don't forget you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. Submit a comment or a question. It might get used on the air today. Might be a question we ask one of our guests that's going to join us. You can tweet me, follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills, and send me a message there. You can also like our Facebook page. The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison is what you type in on Facebook. Click like. You can leave us a message, a comment there, and perhaps it will get read on the air today. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Let's talk high school basketball to start last night, Lee. Indiana commit Anthony Leal, key member of the 2020 class, along with Trey Galloway, who had a big opener on Monday night. A nice performance, 21 points, as Bloomington South had no problems in their opener last night hosting Edgewood. I think Anthony Leal, from all accounts, geared up for a big year. Bloomington South as well geared up for a big year, and they really are one of the stalwarts in high school basketball in our state. They are competitive. They are good each and every year. Anthony Leal has been a big part of this Bloomington South program now for many seasons, and I think we can expect him to have lots of opportunities to have some big point totals and do lots of big things for his Bloomington South team this year.
Yeah, I agree. And young man has just taken a step each year of his high school career to where he's at right now. And going to IU on a scholarship, one of the top players in Indiana, just been fun to watch. And fun to see from here who steps up, what younger players make the radar this year, and who leads the state in scoring. I think the young man from Blackford is back that takes every shot.
I think they
shot.
Opened up last night, too.
Did they? I need to check their score then and see what they did. But I think he takes every shot that's taken. But nonetheless, he has a lot of points at the end of the night. But who's going to step up? What names that we don't know now are we going to know about come the end of the season?
Our Zaxby's headlines continue as we take a look at Floyd Central and Christian Academy last night. Now, Lee and I were there. We had the play-by-play if you couldn't make the game here on the Big X. And that game checked a lot of boxes for me. It wasn't a high-scoring game. The final score was 37-36, Floyd Central winning. And it didn't necessarily, I don't think, tell us a ton about Floyd Central, and we'll talk more about that here in a moment. But it did check some boxes. A, we were back in the gym, and we were together on the radio. And there was a tremendous crowd last night. Christian Academy's fans, students, even Floyd Central's fans and students as well for a road game. Great start to the year crowd-wise and competitive close game down the stretch. You always want to see that when you're at a game, especially when you're calling the game. It was a tremendous game. It was very close, except for the first period, a very, very close and nip-and-tuck contest. So it checked all of those boxes to start the year. It also gave you and I the opportunity to see some key players in the area that we've talked a lot about, and Jake Hydebreeder of Floyd Central, Bailey Conrad of Christian Academy as well. And both players, I'm not sure either, played their best game. Bailey Conrad got off to a little slow start and then began to do some really good stuff for Christian Academy in the second period. Jake Hydebreeder got off to a good start, maybe didn't close the game as strong as he would like, but they both showed potential and both showed why we talk and think so much about them when we talk about basketball in Clark and Floyd counties this year.
Absolutely. I don't see Christian Academy very often. So I read the articles in the paper, and but they're just names. And last night I was able to put a player with the names, and by golly, they've got some nice players at Christian Academy. T.J. Proctor had a great game last night as a point guard, does an outstanding job for them. Conrad, first time I think I've seen him play, did a great job. On the other side, a lot of names that I saw last year on the JV squads for Floyd Central stepping up. Grant Goleman, a young man that we talked to on our preview show, number one in his class, very well-spoken, very intelligent young man, and he played that way last night on the floor. Didn't lead the team in scoring, didn't have a ton of points, but he did little things that in the end, we agreed, led to that Highlander victory. Hyde Breeder, much quicker. I don't see him that often during a season, but much quicker with the ball than I realized. He gets down the floor in a hurry, so good players.
Jake Hyde Breeder led the Highlanders last night with 14 points, but it was Grant Gohman that was our Walnut Ridge star of the game. He had 9 points in the game, and even when things were a little rocky with him early, he stayed at it, had some big baskets late, including just some heads-up plays when the Christian Academy scored to cut it to 1 point with about 7 or 6 seconds left. He, as a senior should, smartly held the ball in his hands out of bounds for as long as he could before inbounding it. Was smart to not foul on the drive in from Christian Academy on a layup that cut the game to a 1 point lead instead of a three to maybe tie the game. So some smart things there. He led the way for Floyd Central as our Walnut Ridge star of the game. And again, Jake Hydebreeder, the top scorer with 14 points. On the Christian Academy side, TJ Proctor was fantastic. He is lightning quick. He streaked up and down the floor the way you would expect maybe a guard to in a big 4A battle, a big 4A game. 16 points from him. He was our Walnut Ridge star of the game for Christian Academy. Bailey Conrad right behind him, however, with 14 points as well. Great start to the season. Lee, let's hope that all of the area games that we're a part of this year can be as close and competitive as the game was last night. I think that it's safe to say Christian Academy has a real chance ahead of them to be a standout 1A team in the state of Indiana. I'm not sure last night that was very indicative of what we will see mid-season from Floyd Central or later in the season from Floyd Central. Yes, Hyde Breeder's experienced and is clearly going to lead the team, but some of the other guards and players they have are still learning the ropes. You've got lots of guys there that are very heady ball players that know how to play the way Coach Sturgeon and Floyd Central have kind of built a reputation as playing, but they just had JV minutes. Floyd Central's been so good they couldn't get varsity experience. And as those guys get 2, 3, 4, 5 varsity games under their belt, there may be some rocky moments, but they are going to be a very quality club in high school basketball this year. Then add on top of that Caleb Washington, who Craig Pearson and I put as the number one freshman prospect last week in Clark and Floyd counties for the boys. He had 6 points in the first quarter last night. I think he only finished with 8 or 9 points, but he clearly is going to start, going to play key minutes, and is eventually going to play a really key role for this Highlander team. I was really impressed with his start last night, and if he can build consistency at the varsity level, he will be a big boost to go with maybe a 1-2 punch with Hydebreeder.
Yeah, I would think after just one game that he's the second option scoring behind Hybreeder. Young man is very athletic. He's got some size. His shot is a good-looking shot from the outside. Just an all-around good ball player. And I heard Coach Sturgeon say in the pregame interview that the way he played in the exhibition games and the way he played in the preseason, he worked himself into the starting lineup, and it was easy to see why last night. A lot of talent.
Yeah, let's take a look at the other scores from the area last night, and always fun to track what happens in the opening week or so of the season. New Washington with a big win over Charlestown. That's a rivalry in northern Clark County. Jesus Diaz, who's all indications set to have a great senior year. We got to talk with him on our high school basketball media day program. 15 points to lead New Washington, and a freshman, Matthew Arthur, with 14 points in that game. Also, A.J. Walter, 17 points, a number of double-figure scores for New Washington in that contest as they beat Charlestown. And Borden gets a nice win, a rival for them. They win 55-46 over Eastern Pekin, leading the way Mason Carter with 19 points for the Braves. So a good start for Borden. We'll see if they can put together a much-improved season from last year. And Henryville, they're able to hold off a late rally, a late push from Rock Creek to win 46-42, leading the way for them. Weston Allen, he had 16 points in the contest for Henryville. That's a look at some high school basketball highlights from last night, which really was the opening night of games for this 2019-2020 high school basketball season. A lot of fun to be out at Christian Academy, a great crowd, fun to check all the scores and highlights from last night. Glad to know that we've got a lot of this forthcoming here, and games really pick up this weekend and, of course, even next week as well. Let's take a look at the Maui Invitational. Indiana not in that tournament this year, but they've had plenty of experiences out in Hawaii at the event. But how about Dayton? Kind of the story of the tournament. They opened up on Monday with a win over Tom Crean's Georgia team. Then they got the opportunity, instead of Michigan State, to take on Virginia Tech, who was able to upset Michigan State on Monday. And then yesterday, Dayton gets past Virginia Tech, and they're set to take on Kansas in the championship game later this afternoon. So Dayton, who's in the Atlantic 10, will get to see Dayton, who's clearly going to be a good club this year, take on UMass and Shawnee East. That's kind of the first thing that came to my mind as I saw Dayton have success out in Hawaii. We'll get to see them in a big game later today. I look forward to seeing Kansas and Dayton. Let's talk about Michigan State. They lose to Virginia Tech. When you think you've got it figured out, not that Michigan State's going to not have a great year either, but I really thought we would see for sure a Michigan State and Kansas championship game, and I also thought that Michigan State likely would win that thing. Of course, that tells you what I know, that it goes the opposite way. So very surprised to see Cassius Winston and Tom Izzo and that crew not be in today's championship.
Yeah, I have not read any stories about Michigan State to this point of what reporters and different people think is wrong with Michigan State at this point. There are some injuries there, but they're just not coming out of the gate like people thought they would with all the experience back from Michigan State. So it's going to be interesting. They have a veteran ball club, and veteran ball clubs did very well last year in March Madness. So whether that trend will continue, Dayton, I don't know anything about, but I'm guessing that normally they have a veteran ball club, a lot of seniors, a lot of experience, and that may be one of the reasons they're playing so well, especially early.
In the consolation bracket yesterday with Michigan State losing and Dayton beating Georgia, it was Michigan State against Georgia, which is Tom Crean, former Indiana coach, and of course Tom used to work for Coach Izzo at Michigan State, so there's a deep connection there between those guys. Michigan State would go on to win, although it was, I didn't get to watch this game, but very close, and I think Georgia threatened them, and one player for Georgia had 37 points or 38 points, something like that, in the game. But the reason I'm bringing this game up is, and I'm just reading a tweet here, so I don't know when this happened. I don't know if it was a post-game chat, a pre-game chat. I don't know when this came up, but one of the Michigan State reporters that covers all the Michigan State games that I follow, he tweeted that to Tom Crean asked about Aaron Henry, who's a player from the state of Indiana, from Indianapolis, and said to Tom Izzo that he's lucky he's still not the coach at Indiana because he never would have let Henry leave the state of Indiana to play college basketball. And, you know, I like Tom Crean. I think he's a wonderful guy, okay coach. No problems with him, but let's be serious for a second. That is one of the reasons that he was under fire at Indiana, was because there were so many good players like Kyle Guy, like Chris Wilkes, Jaren Jackson, Trevon Blewett, Xavier, Zach Irvin, and so many more that did leave the state of Indiana. And I'm really just kind of touching on a beginning list. There are many other names you could throw in there that are just as prominent, or in some cases maybe more prominent. So I don't want to say too much because I don't know when that conversation or joke or how it was set, but clearly, Coach Crean, good luck to you at Georgia. I pull for you at Georgia. But no, if Aaron Henry was – if you were still the coach when Aaron Henry was a senior, no, you would not have kept him in state if we go off all the other players that did not stay in state. So I thought that was worth mentioning today. I hate to give any coach too much hell, but definitely an interesting comment from Coach Crean to Coach Izzo.
Yeah, Coach Crean, I've only met the man a couple of times, and that's just in passing to shake hands. Seems like a very nice man. And I, like you, wish him the very best at Georgia, but I think he lives in a dream world part of the time when he makes comments like this. And it probably was a joke, not meant to, you know, probably be covered by any reporters. But nonetheless, you're right. If he would have gotten some of those guys that he let escape to other schools, probably would still be there.
Those are the Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. It's the holiday time, and don't forget Zaxby's does catering, party-sized platters of your favorite appetizers, entrees, and sides at Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, going to talk some college basketball and the crazy happenings this week and last night with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. We'll talk some IU hoops as well. We'll talk about IU's upcoming game to close out the month of November and what's ahead in December as well with Dustin after this. This is the Hoosier Report. It's presented each day by CC Power Sports. We'll be back after a quick commercial break.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back, Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget, no show, obviously, on Thursday, as everyone enjoys the Thanksgiving holiday. No show Friday either, and be back with you Monday here on the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. Every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas at CC Power Sports. They're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through Christmas. Simply put down a deposit and pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can find more about this Christmas special at ccpowersports.com. Lee Kelly with me on this Wednesday, since we have no show on Thursdays, and we're joined right now on the phone by Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic. And Dustin, before we talk anything with Indiana, what in the world is going on with college basketball? Stephen F. Alston gets a win at Duke last night in overtime. Dayton is flying through the Maui Invitational bracket. Of course, we've already talked about Evansville winning at Kentucky, and there have been some other odd scores and odd results this year, but it's a crazy world of college basketball, and that is holding true once again to start this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's going on is nobody's really good. Is really what it comes down to. I mean, nobody is really, really good. I mean, there are some teams that are decent. There are some good players spread around, but you don't have this. No one's really got that collection of guys that you look at and say, okay, that team's just not getting beat, by many people. I mean, there's just there just isn't any team at that level. I mean, I put out on Twitter last night, I don't know. I think there's a good chance that the team that wins the national title this year would not have been an Elite Eight team last year. You know, I think that's sort of the difference in level of I would say just in level of talent. But I mean, I think a lot of the best players are spread out. I think that's got a lot to do with it. Certainly, we've gotten to the point with college basketball that, again, your freshman class every year is some of your most talented kids because, those guys come to college basketball and they leave after a year and they're pros. And really, in this particular season, you're seeing, that group of guys is as spread out as it's been. I mean, no one has a great class. Kentucky and Duke both have pretty good ones, but by their standards, not really. I mean, you've seen way better Kentucky freshman classes, way better Duke freshman classes. Even last year, certainly for Duke by a long shot. So you don't really have that team that's unbeatable, and they keep getting these mid-major teams. I don't know if they're overlooking them or what, or just presuming, okay, there's just no way we're going to get beat by a team like Stephen F. Austin. And I don't know. I mean, I didn't watch that whole game last night. I obviously saw the miracle play at the end there. But you're going to have some more experienced teams at the mid-major levels. You're having some of these teams that are built on freshmen. This year, they're just not that great at freshmen. And again, the best ones are spread out. You got Cole Anthony in North Carolina. You got Anthony Edwards, who really looks special, but he's at Georgia. James Wise is at Memphis. It's not a situation where the best freshmen are all clustered together. They're spread out, basically, and they don't necessarily have dominant teams around them. So you have really a recipe for chaos in a lot of ways with this season. So I don't know that you're going to see anybody get to the number one spot and stay there. You could have a situation where the team that wins the title could have 6, 7, 8 losses. and the team I think he put together at the end, I mean, really, I think anything could possibly happen in this tournament, you know, going forward. I mean, this is, at this point, you're already seeing that there's just not a huge gap, chasm when it comes to, you know, talent in terms of the best teams and, you know, the teams that are more middle of the pack.
Dustin, I want to ask you, with some of the losses that we've seen by Kentucky and now Duke last night, and you mentioned that, you know, nobody's really good, and I know some of that's a joke, but some of it's serious. Who has impressed you? Who do you have at the top right now of all of college basketball as far as a handful of teams?
I mean, that's the thing. I honestly couldn't tell you who the best team in the country is right now. I honestly could not. I mean, I don't think North Carolina's really played anybody yet, and Anthony's been terrific when he's been there. You know, Michigan State has some great games, but they just got beat by Virginia Tech the other night, and they almost blew it against Georgia yesterday. You know, plus getting beat at Kentucky at the beginning. Kansas looked pretty good last night, but, I mean, they got beat by Duke early. I mean, I think that team is good, but it's not spectacular. I'm trying to think of some other teams that have looked good. I mean, shoot, Dayton looks really good. You know, Obi Toppin, like, I mean, like, after this week, you're going to be like, okay, man, how good is Dayton? And I don't even know if they're ranked coming in this week. So, I mean, I truly don't know. I mean, I've been impressed by some teams. I thought, I mean, I think Louisville certainly, I think, has a case, you know, at this point in time. I don't think they've been seriously tested yet, but they've obviously got a case. I mean, I think you might have to put them at number one by the end of this week just by default. But, I mean, they've got some players. They've got some experience. They've got a lot of pieces. So you almost have to, again, I think you might have to put them in, you know, number one by default right now. So, yeah, I mean, I think, God, there's a long list. I mean, I think there's some teams that have a chance to emerge if you sit around and watch for a while. I mean, I think everybody sort of presumed that Virginia had to be worse because of everything they lost with Jerome and Guy and, you know, who else am I forgetting that they lost? DeAndre Hunter, of course, you know, lost some big-time talent. But I mean, I think they're just going to be able to defend people and they're going to have a shot. Just based on that, I mean, there's a lot of teams that are just going to have an opportunity to be in this thing because they're good at one thing, you know, whatever that one thing might be. So I mean, I think there's a lot of teams that are going to have a shot at it. But I mean, I don't know that there's a definitive number one right now. If I had a vote in the AP top 25 and I don't this year, I don't know who I put this week. I seriously do not.
We can't name a number one team. What about a number one player? Is there anybody that's jumped out as player of the year candidate at this early point? And let me mention, I miss Zion already. I loved watching that
sure.
young man play. But so far, I haven't seen anybody that jumps out as the star of stars coming into this, or at this point in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I there's not a Zion necessarily. I mean, Zion was spectacular. I mean, you just stop whatever you're doing when he was playing basketball last year. It was unbelievable. And I got to see, obviously, Indiana play them at Cameron Indoor, and it's just you just sit there and just giggle at the stuff that you're seeing. It was just I just never really seen anything like that. Just not only because of just the power he had, but I mean, he could shoot it a little bit. I mean, his footwork was unbelievable. He could take you from the perimeter. He could pass it. I mean, he just had all the pieces. I mean, Zion is really special. I mean, I one of the better college guys I've seen. But man, Anthony Edwards looked special yesterday. I mean, if you know, I didn't see that game live, but saw the highlights. And man, I mean, he was really making some shots. Got a heck of a body. Can get to the rim and finish. And he threw a pass yesterday. That bounce pass from like, I mean, he was just inside half court, and he hit a guy on a bounce pass like right at the rim. You know, cutting right at the rim. That thing was beautiful. And obviously, Georgia and Crean hasn't built that group all the way up that you're going to look at that thing as a title contender. But Edwards looked unreal yesterday. I mean, he really made that kind of leap that you're thinking, okay, that's the guy that can be a number one pick. I think Cole Anthony's played at that level. I mean, I don't know when James Wiseman gets to play again, obviously, because of various, you know, issues with the issues with his eligibility with Penny Hardaway. But, you know, what little I've got to see of him, I mean, he's a big time center. He's an NBA player for sure. But again, there's still Cassius Winston. As much as he's not the athletic marvel that those guys are, the guy just knows how to win. He showed it all year last year, and you keep seeing it. Just hit some monster shots against Seton Hall in that game that they won, and obviously just playing through something truly unfathomable with you know with what happened to his brother. I mean, I just cannot imagine going through something like that, and even just being able to get out of bed every day, and he's still been showing up and hitting some big time shots and just playing like a champ like he does. So, you know, obviously you've got to put Cassius has got to be in that conversation by default. I think really he was everybody's preseason player of the year. And you're obviously going to be keeping your eye on Michigan State, obviously, even though they've taken some tough losses and they look very mortal. They can still win the whole thing. I don't think you can rule them out at all. And as long as Cassius Winston, especially as long as Cassius Winston is on this team, he found some way to make big shots and make just big plays when he's got to make them. His feel for the dramatic and knowing when you got to step up and make something happen just puts him in that conversation again. He's not in the caliber of the rest of those guys athletically, but he's a basketball player and he finds a way to make plays.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, our guest, joining Lee Kelly and I here on this Wednesday program. Let's talk a little IU for a few moments. Hoosiers have one more test, one more warm-up opportunity, you could say, before they get to the big test, and that would be Florida State and the Big Ten ACC Challenge and a couple Big Ten games and, of course, other big non-conference games that are next month. I know that we've not seen the full lineup, definitely not as much as Archie Miller would like to have seen them out there together. It's been an Indiana team that's had different injuries, different illnesses, different things that have kept guys out for a game here or there, in some cases multiple games. As we begin to turn our attention to much tougher opponents for Indiana and bigger games with higher stakes as far as the NCAA tournament, helping with that goes, and as far as some conference games coming up in December, how ready is this Indiana team in your estimation for this next level of competition?
It's a great question. I mean, just after watching them Monday night, you come out of there like, okay, well, what did I even see? What do I know about these guys? Because they went from, offensively, the first half of that game, they were spectacular. They did everything right. They could get to the rim whenever they wanted. They could get open looks for three whenever they wanted. 61%. When La Tech went to zone, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. They could do whatever they wanted to do. Come out in the second half, and they could not do anything right. And it's the same group of guys. They had a halftime, and then they came out, and they were a totally different group of players. It was, 8 of 25 in the second half, more turnovers than field goals, and couldn't complete passes. I think they had 5 turnovers in the first, not even 3 minutes. It was like 2.5. They'd already given the ball away 5 times. It's really remarkable. It's tough to say. And defensively, Archie Miller has been very clear they're not where they need to be. And that's an issue because I do think this team has to be great defensively because I don't know how good it's going to be, especially when you get into Big Ten play and you have to get a lot more done in the half court. They've got really good athletes. They've got guys that can dunk over your head. They've got a lot of size. They've got a length. They got a lot of athleticism. So when the floor is a little bit more open, they can get the ball in the paint and they can beat you that way. And if the ball moves enough, they can hit the open shots that they have to. But, the paint's going to clog up eventually. And teams certainly are going to look and see if the size the Indiana's got and, basically hedge more towards the paint, try to dare some of these guys to hit shots over them and just slow the game up. And it's going to be get a lot more difficult. They're going to have to be a lot more precise, a lot more smart with the basketball, and have to move it like they did in the first half yesterday, but they're going to have to do that for 40. Or close to it anyway. And so I don't know if you've necessarily seen an ability to do that yet. And they're going to have to play defense. I don't think they're going to be able to play in the 80s. Once you get into Big Ten play. So they're going to have to D up. They're going to have to be able to stop some people. And they haven't shown that ability yet. They have the tools. Again, they have a lot of length. They've got a lot of versatile defenders, guys that can defend a lot of different kinds of bodies. But, you haven't shown them just be able to stop people. La Tech got, they hit 10 threes and they got 34 in the paint. That is not a good recipe, I guess. When a Conference USA team can do that to you, then the Big Ten team is going to be able to do a lot worse. I think there's a lot of big questions that they have. Now, there are certain things I think that they've done so far that have stepped out as maybe you could even say better than I would have expected. I think Trace Jackson Davis, he knew he was going to be good. I think he's been a little bit better than advertised, really. He's just done a phenomenal job of making plays in the paint, basically being able to finish in there. He's been good on defense. He's blocked a lot of shots. He's rebounding the ball at a really high level. And he's making his free throws, which has really been big because I think he's going to get fouled a lot, and he's converting those, and that matters a lot. I think he maybe only had 3 or 4 field goals the other night and still had to put up a pretty big final number there, ended up with a double-double. So he's been really good. I think some other guys have been better than expected. I think Justin Smith has been playing good basketball. He didn't score a lot on Monday night. He's done a lot of good things. The guards have mostly looked pretty good, even though they didn't look good the other night. I think Al Durham really, it just seems like he's upped his game a notch. They've had to play a lot without Rob Finney. He's not been healthy at all, but I think think, you know, Armon Franklin's had some good moments. And Devontae Green, I think, you know, even though he had a bad second half, he had a terrific first half, was really efficient early on in the first half. So they've shown a lot of things that look pretty good. They've got a lot of athletes. They've got a good bit of size. It hasn't all come together yet, though. They haven't figured it all out, and they had really a whole month worth of warm up games, you know, to kind of really piece together who they are. And I don't think they're all the way there, getting ready for the games that are really going to test them. Starting, like you said, with Florida State.
Dustin Dvorak of The Athletic joining us. IU basketball, the topic as we wrap things up here before Thanksgiving. I do want to talk a couple general team things with you before we let you go. I think Indiana's free throw shooting has been a lot better this season. A big part of that is Trace Jackson Davis. I was looking back at his free throw percentage this year, the number of times he's been able to get to the line and the number of times that he successfully converts those free throws. That's been better. Turnovers generally have been better. I'm not sure that was the case, especially in the second half yesterday. But there are some markers for this team if you watch previous seasons, and I'm sure this is true with every college basketball program, probably any basketball team as well. Some things you kind of you get alerted to. You got to watch turnovers. You got to watch free throws. Three-point shooting has been a struggle for this program over the years and recent years. So I think there are some things team-wise that maybe you can be hopeful about. But, again, it goes back to what you said earlier, talking about what's ahead for Indiana. It's hard to judge this team right now because they haven't necessarily taken on top-level competition. I'm curious your thoughts on some of the perennial struggles that Indiana as a team has faced and maybe how those have improved this season so far.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, the free throw shooting is big. That really does matter. I mean, our team really keeps talking about that, saying, okay, this has to be a team that gets fouled because it has to be a team that gets the ball in the paint. You know, you're not going to convert all of those, but you've got to be able to, you know, draw some contact and get through it at least enough to draw the foul, you know, get them to call it, you know, force teams to foul you because otherwise, you know, they're going to give up a layup. So that's big is when they're going to be put in that position. Their big guys have to make free throws, you know, their forwards and you know, guys that are getting to the rim, guards getting to the rim. They've got to be able to draw fouls that way, and they've got to be able to convert when they have the opportunity. You know, they've had years where they haven't done that. They were a little bit better last year than they were the year before. But, you know, this year they've got to be good at the line, and it does seem like they are. I mean, again, like you said, Trace is – that's a big piece of it. I mean, he's had some big night scoring where he hasn't had a lot of field goals. He's just drawn a bunch of fouls. You know, he's a tough kid in there. He's got a lot of ability to finish, and basically a lot of times if you want to keep him from scoring, you almost have to foul him. And put him at the line and force him to make him, and he's done that. He's earned it. So that's been really big. I mean, I think they've got some other guys, again, that can make free throws. Justin Smith has been really on and off with that. You know, he's had some moments where he's been really bad there. He's had some nights where he's been really good there. I think he had one night where he was maybe 7 for 8, something like that. You know, the other night he wasn't good. I think he missed a couple of them. He can be on or off with that. So he's a guy that you got to, I think, watch, is that he, I think, is going to draw some fouls if he's playing the game the right way. I mean, I think they want him to go inside more, take his man inside more and draw some contact. And he's got to be able to convert. And again, he can be really on, he can be really off. They got to do better there. You know, I think Jerome Hunter is the guy that could draw some fouls, can make some free throws when he's going to get his minutes. You know, Race Thompson's another guy that's going to get fouled. Joey Brunk is going to get fouled. All those guys got to make them. I mean, and I think the guards have to get to the rim more and force people to foul them. I think Al Dorm is a really good free throw shooter that doesn't always get fouled, and I think that he's trying to push a little bit more, so he's getting in the rim there. I think Devontae Green, certainly a guy who has the style of game, he can be physical, get to the rim, and I think he's a pretty good free throw shooter, and you know, he can draw those. I think Finney's another guy. Can also do the same thing. So they have a bunch of guys that have the sort of bodies, that have the sort of games that can get fouled. And I do think mostly they've got pretty good touch at the rim. They don't have a lot of guys that are really bad there. So that's big. That helps a lot. You know, 3-point shooting, it just seems like, you know, as Archie Miller said before, it can't be a team that takes a ton of them. It's got to just take the good ones. You know, take the ones where they get open looks, where they get good ball movement, good ball reversals to set guys up, so they're not shooting contested 3-point shots. They're you know, getting looks where they have a real, you know, shot to make it, and they're not forcing anything. And, you know, so that ends up with them maybe shooting 10, 13, 15 a night and trying to hit 6 or 7 of them, you know, not necessarily trying to get 10 a night or something like that, but maybe 6 or 7 threes a night can go a long way. They seem to be good enough at that. right now. Again, there's not great shooting on this team. There's a couple guys that can really make them. I think Al Durham has become a much better three-point shooter, and that's really key. Devontae Green, I think, has been smart about his three-point shots. I don't know if he's a better shooter, but he's not forcing as many so far. Now it's early, obviously, for him because he had the hamstring injury and is only coming back. So those are big. You know, one marker, I think, that a team marker that I hadn't really thought about at all that I think is really going to be interesting to follow, the thing Archie Miller mentioned, is defensive time of possession, you know, basically forcing teams to take long possessions because they're not necessarily going to put a lot of ball pressure there and try to take the ball early in the clock and attack. You know, they're going to sort of sit back and force teams to work it. And basically, so the point is to not give up a clean look early, you know, force a team to work for 35 seconds to get a look. It's the same way that Virginia operates, Wisconsin used to operate, how Archie Miller's Dayton teams operate. So that's what he's looking at. I think right now they're at 17.1, which isn't great. So he wants that marker to go up as the year goes on. And if it does, you know, that could, I think, be really big for them. But they've got to force teams to work a little bit more than they are right now.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Great stuff on IU basketball and, of course, college hoops as a whole. Dustin, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. And we appreciate your time on the program. Appreciate your work on The Athletic as well. It's always fun to catch up with you. So hopefully you get the day off tomorrow. Back at it this weekend, I'm sure. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks as well. And happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Thank you very much. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic with us Wednesdays here on the show. We'll head to a commercial break. This is the Hoosier Report, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment here as we wrap up the week. Short week because of Thanksgiving. Hope you guys have a short week as well. This segment brought to you by the Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items, screen printing, embroidery, and fully sublimated uniforms. Those are all things that Major League Shirt Company can do for you, your team, your organization. You can visit MLShirtCo.com. That's MLShirtCo.com to find out more. Lee Kelly is with me. So is Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. And Craig, last night we were treated to a good opener. You were there covering it for the paper, and you can read that story at newsandtribune.com. But a close one, down to the wire. Christian Academy right there with the Highlanders until the final moments.
Absolutely. You know, and Floyd Central got off to a great start, had a 16-5 lead, and you almost wondered if they were going to run away with it. But the second quarter, Christian Academy really righted the ship and got right back into it. And behind Bailey Conrad and TJ Proctor, I heard you guys talk about those guys early on, and those two, you know, I think Proctor had a great game and showed that, you know, he's going to be one of the best Class A point guards in the state, and that'll help their aspirations big time. And I think, you know, I don't think I talked to Bailey afterward. He wasn't, you know, thrilled with the way he played, but you know, I think it's game one, and then, you know, he played pretty well and made some key plays down the stretch. And you know, they just didn't, I think Coach Kerberg commented that, you know, in crunch time, you got to go out and take the game, and they just didn't quite do that. But a lot of good takeaways from their perspective and from Floyd as well. You know, I think Caleb Washington, the freshman that we talked about a little bit last week, and you know, had some positive things going, and he's probably going to get better and better as the season progresses.
We've talked about this, Lee and I, you and I, Craig as well, that this is a really good year for high school basketball. And last night after the game, I talked to both coaches. I talked to some of the other head coaches in the area that were there to scout the game. Really good crowd last night at the game as well. But, you know, the thought was, hey, this is just a great time for basketball in our area. Christian Academy is a team in 1A that could make a run later in the season. Of course, we think Jeff right now on paper is the best 4A team, and they might prove that to be the case here over the next few weeks that could make a run in 4A basketball. Then you've got the Dragons, defending champions in 3A, and they open up tonight, by the way, against Columbus East. But I tell you what, I try to remember this as I'm out there watching last night and with all the fun games ahead to appreciate this, because there are so many good players right now, so many good teams. And I always say this, but I think we underrate the coaches at times. We don't give them the credit. I was thinking last night watching Todd Sturgeon, who's got a college background, and all that he's done at Floyd Central, battle a coach, a younger coach like Steve Kerberg, who, even though he's younger, he's been at Christian Academy now for a number of years. He's built stability, brought stability to that program. And then we're talking to Ryan Miller of Providence after the game, who was there scouting, another young coach that's excited to take over his program, have heard really good things about what he's implementing now and for the future with Providence. And you think, gosh, everywhere you turn at all the local schools, the ones that are projected to have great years, the ones that we're unsure about this year, one thing that kind of rings true, we've got some really hardworking, quality coaches, old and young, at these schools.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, and you obviously didn't mention, you know, Coach Shannon and Sean Smith at Charlestown looking to rebuild over there and that sort of thing. And, yeah, I mean, I talked to Kerberg afterward in the locker room, and he had several former players in there and got a couple guys playing college ball right now and that sort of thing. So, you know, yeah, a lot of great coaches. And I think Coach Sturgeon's got a, you know, he's got some work to do with that team, but I think it's going to be fun to see what he can do to continue to develop that group and develop Caleb Washington and just the supporting cast for Jake Heidbreder.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a great year for fans, and my fear is that they won't come out and watch. And if there was ever a time that local fans should get back into the habit of going to the games on Friday and Saturday night, they need to do it this year.
Absolutely. You know, and yeah, we've got some big openers this weekend for Jeff in New Albany. I think I'm excited to see Jeffersonville open up against a Cincinnati Woodward team with Paul McMillan, a number top-ranked point guard in his class and in the sophomore class nationally. He's got offers from Xavier and Cincinnati, and it's going to be fun to see how Jeff can match up with him. And obviously, New Albany's over at Bloomington South against, you know, that's going to be one of the top three ranked teams in the state to start the year. I think the AP poll comes out today. We'll see what they have. And, you know, I think Jeff should be right up there as well. So going to be a good opening weekend there.
Yeah, no question. Some big games this week. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. Craig, you going to get a look at the Dragons tonight in their opener?
Yes. I've got our correspondent Kyle Williams is covering it, but I'm going to get up there for a little while as well and get a look at them and see how they stack up there against Columbus East. And should be a good ball game. Another great atmosphere, I would imagine, as the defending champs open up at home. That's got to be an exciting time up there at Sellersburg. And yeah, absolutely looking forward to that.
And of course, this weekend, more games continue after the Thanksgiving holiday. Craig, you hit on some of the big ones: New Albany at Bloomington South, Jeffersonville at Cincinnati Woodward. I've heard some really good things about that guard you mentioned, McMillan from Woodward, and definitely that's going to be a big test for Jeffersonville. Seems like two very athletic teams are going to square off Saturday night in Cincinnati. So still early, still lots that will develop, but I think we'll find out a little something about New Albany and Jeff this week, and they both have very tough tests.
Right. And, you know, and we mentioned Floyd, who's hits the road again to Evansville, take on Harrison. You know, should be a good weekend. I know you guys didn't. I think you guys touched on Borden in your headlines. They had a nice opening win and New Wash as well. But yeah, the big story will be those big schools this weekend and seeing how they stack up, and interested to see what the Bulldogs can do, if they can kind of shock some people. Hope they're at Bloomington. That could be exciting. But that's a very good team. It's not just Anthony Leal. They've got several key guys back up there, and it's going to be a great team.
That'll wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Craig, thanks for being with us. Next week, Craig and I unveil the sophomore prospects, boys and girls. We'll have them for you next week. We'll unveil those here on the program. Lee Kelly, thanks for being with me. Good to see you again. Guys, have a great Thanksgiving, and that's going to wrap things up. I'll be back with you Monday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.